this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperiencing a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? How we doing? Big win to start the Ralph Rangnick era, sir. We are off to a flying start. 1-0 wasn't quite heavy metal stuff quite yet, but we were well in control of the match. Got the goal in the second half from Fred El Pastor. Going to turn into a world-class player under this manager. He just might. But just like we kind of just controlled the whole game. And it was never in doubt. That was a great feeling. You knew the goal was coming. Hoping it came a little earlier, but big win, sir. Big 3 points. How are we feeling?
A new dawn at Old Trafford, and boy, was it refreshing to see that first 30 minutes. I'll tell you, we haven't seen football like that from Manchester United, and I cannot remember, sir. We had, like, David Moyes, what are you doing? We had the LVG pass him to death side to side, side to side. Then we had Mourinho negative football. Then we had Ole Ball, which, you know, had its moments. I'm not going to lie. Ole Ball did have its moments, but Rangnick... something about Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, lads would come out flat, couldn't get up for a match. We did not see that today. A good Crystal Palace side coming into Old Trafford where teams like them have been able to get at us early, make us nervous, bad touch, bad pass, giving up chances. Dave saves having to bail us out. We did not see that for the first 30. We saw United that was intent to push up the field, create opportunities, the crowd getting into the game. That was key at Old Trafford. The energy was there, sir. After the first, we kind of faded at the end of the first, didn't take our chances early, but very encouraging from Rangnick. You can see what he wants to do. I just think at the end of the day, fitness will be the question for Manchester United. We kind of faded early in the second as well. Game started opening up, started being a little loose with the ball, back and forth, back and forth. Eventually got the goal with some good subs from our new manager. Boy, did he come in and do an excellent job. I think he got everything right today. We deserve the 3 points. We saw some great football from Manchester United, sir. I am absolutely buzzing about Ralph Rangnick at the wheel at Manchester United.
At the wheel, we're using that. But hey, whatever it is, I'll take it. There was control. There was intent. There was a plan. We showed up from the first minute, like you said, that early barrage. It was like old school Manchester United football, right? Turning the screws, as they like to say, and just putting wave after wave of attack of a team that you know is going to just try and play compact, make it hard for you to break them down, which they did, right? Classic Crystal Palace. They were tough. A side that wasn't so tough, we would have scored earlier. But that was just nice to see. And the team, everybody looked like they were trying to impress the new manager, which is often probably why you get a new manager bounce. But there were a lot of players that went out there looking to impress. A lot of players did impress. And I think, like you said, you made a very good point. The fitness is going to be a big thing. That is going to make it very, very important that he rotates the squad. It's a huge squad, right? So he's got to be able to, like, pull a Fergie and mix and match, and starting with young boys, right? That's a great opportunity to see who else he's got.
And absolutely, when you, as a new manager, it's a clean slate for every single player, which is good. I think you're going to get a lot of players sort of tightening the laces a little bit, going in for some challenges, trying to earn their spot. Because with the new manager, it's like a complete clean slate for everyone. I think this team needed it. Such a deep squad. Elanga coming in. Obviously, like, I love that, what that says about Rangnick. It's like, hey, you train well, you're good to get minutes. And that's what it should always be about. I think we talked about during the match with Ole coming to his end, he's kind of tightening up in a poker game he's losing. You start playing a little risk off and it kind of feeds on itself a little bit, where I think Rangnick is coming in trying to evaluate the talent with a, you know, absolute clean slate. United just looked great. They were up for a match, sir. The biggest thing I saw for Manchester United was one goal lead heading into the late, early 90s, late 80s. We were up for it. The lads put in challenges, running, how aggressive we saw them play, playing for the win at home. We've faded in those moments. We've let in goals that we shouldn't have. We couldn't hold on to one goal leads. sir, we get a clean sheet as well. Holy shit. I mean, I can go on and on. But I think it was like the players like Donnie closing the ball down in their third, late in the game, running hard, Ronaldo running hard, the passion, everything behind it. Just you love to see that, sir. We've been begging for players to play for the badge, leave everything out there. And this is a game we saw it, sir. We saw this team turn around. I can't believe how many days he had them in training. One, and he's able to get them play that high line and absolutely run their hearts out for Manchester United. And in a game like this, where people are starting to drop points and United need these three, all three, sir, going up the table. It's like, what a time to be a Manchester United fan. It's like, what a hell of a season. I feel like the weight has been lifted off my shoulders, sir. It's almost emotional. It's like we needed this day.
Sir, you know, December 5th. We've got a big month of games, and like you said, it feels like the season has already been 6 months because it's been brutal. It's been brutal for Manchester United fans, and it's always brutal when you lose your manager, especially brutal when you're a former player legend. So it's like it's been a long season already. So fresh start, perfect start. Like you said, 3 points, clean sheet.
But the passion.
Well in control the whole time. People stepping up performances-wise. Telles, Dalot. Fred,
put like it in a challenge.
Yeah, put it in multiple challenges. Like there are players in this team that are going to ready to step up. He's going to get the best out of them, and we're just getting going. Like you said, you could already tell the difference based on how much higher the back four played with the press. Right, they're playing at the halfway line, which usually there's so much open space, which is why we get cut through like ribbons. But they're even just like in 2 days. 2 days of training.
Yeah, from Arsenal, unbelievable. Right? Yeah. Arsenal, we were so deep. We were spread wide open. That's why McFred absolutely get like dusted because there's so much space. And playing that eye line, it's like one little change that Reina could do ended up making the world of difference look like a different team. For me, it's not necessarily the result. This could have ended 0-0, and I would still be absolutely buzzing because what we saw from this team, the confidence, the way to take it to someone, like we are Manchester United, playing in front of the 70,000 faithful at Old Trafford, it's like that was back. Today, and I saw some players that wanted to ball out. They took chances. They were aggressive. They put in tackles. I don't care who it is. Dalot, next man up. Who's going to do it for me? That's what I think Rangnick is the guy. He doesn't care AWB got signed for big money or who signed him. He wants a player that's going to play the way he wants, and he looks like, a, like you said during the match, sir, hard man to please. He looks like a hard man to please, and that's what you need to be as a manager of Manchester United. It's like you could always do it better. He's always got notes for you, and I think he's gonna be. It's gonna be a meritocracy. If you do what he wants, you will play. If you do not, you will not. I think Ole, armor on the shoulder, has encouraged some bad habits, bad behaviors. I think Rangnick's not going to be like that. He looks cold-blooded. Oh. He looks cold-blooded on the touchline. That's what we need, sir. Look, it's one game in. I'm full Muppet. Let's go.
Let's go, baby. We're still in it. We got everything left to play for. Champions League. Hey, let's like make some teams nervous in the league. You got Chelsea losing points. That, you know, that is still its own pack in front of us. But either way, like you said, the encouragement is there. He is a hard man to please. You could tell by his face, sir. It doesn't matter about the assistants that are working around him. He's the man in charge, and he's going to hold everyone to very high standards. So it's like, actually, if anyone's going to get the best out of McKenna and the rest of that crew, it would be this man. Because you could tell in his eye that he has what it takes. Some of these players are not going to make it, but there are a lot of young, talented players in this team. There are a lot of talented players that are going to be coming back from loan after this year. There are players that are in the academy ready to break on through. So, like, this team might be a lot different in a year because he's going to flush out a lot of this. So, it's exciting. The Rangnick era, the beginning. But I think, as long as the Glazers don't bottle this, sir, this is the beginning of something special at this club.
Sir, and this is a team without Varane. Yep. Without Paul Pogba.
Cavani.
I mean, a lot of players are Luke Shaw, a lot of players are missing. But a great start from our manager. Sir, quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils and you want to support independent fan content, we could have sponsors on this podcast. We could be selling you things you don't even need or interrupting the middle of the podcast for ads. But instead, we decided to go with the direct fan support via Patreon. Check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericaRedDevils. If you don't know what it is, it's basically a service where you can directly support us so we don't have to have sponsors on the podcast. Please check it out. We're giving away pins, stickers, scarves, shirts, you name it. We post a behind-the-scenes episode every single month. We have a mailbag. You can ask any questions you want. We answer it on the Patreon podcast. Sign up. Check it out. Every dollar supports the American Red Devils, helps us keep this small-time operation going. Also, check out our blog at www.americanreddevils.com. Click on store. We have some great merchandise. Our new badge logo hoodies are in stock. They're absolutely fire. We got beanies. We got blankets, pins, posters, everything. Please check out that store. Everything you buy supports this small-time operation. Sir, tell them about iTunes reviews.
iTunes reviews. Wow. Let's speak of great iTunes reviews and start with one because you, the American Red Devil fans, write the best reviews in the world. Here is a great one from Ian Espinoza. 5-star. If you are a Muppet, we want you. That's the title. If you are a Muppet on the couch, we want you. From one Muppet to another, you belong here because we need all those options for the couch. Come join us where all Muppet opinions matter. That's right. At the American Red Devils, we welcome Muppets with open arms. Great way to support the pod is write 5-star reviews. We're sending out special swag to any fan that does so. All you have to do, write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it's cheeky like Ian's, even better, send a screenshot to americanreddevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship something straight to your door in time for the holidays. Great way to support the pod. Goes a long way, sir. And Ralph Rangnick's Red Army, I don't know what they're going to do. Ralph's Red Army or Rangnick's Red Army, but, sir, they're going to be the away team. He thinks he's seen, he's talked about it.
Hard man to please FC.
I know he is, and that's great. Because you know what? Before it was a little too, like, the standards had dropped. He's going to raise the standards. And I just forgot.
iTunes reviews. iTunes reviews.
Sir, iTunes reviews.
Ralph Rangnick, iTunes reviews.
Write a review. Incorporate Ralph even better, sir. Ralph's Red Army. Dude, he was talking about the specials of this club. We're on a tangent. We closed the PSA.
So Muppet.
I'm going on a Muppet tangent. Sir, he's seen how special this club is from a home ground perspective. Wait till he sees the away fans at this club, sir. So anyway, we're all buzzing. I think all the fans are excited because kind of like when Ole came in, we needed a fresh start. Not that Ole was as toxic as Jose, but like we needed a fresh start. We needed this, and we got this, and it's like, let's go, boys. Those subs, I love those subs. Alanga, yeah.
Sir, we gotta get in the match, but like I'll tell you, the analogy I have is like the American Red Devils being stranded in the Sahara Desert for 4 years, sir. We're looking for water. Sometimes we get a mirage, you know, and it's not really. We try to drink the water from the mirage. It's sand. And then eventually we finally found an oasis, and we took a sip of that cold, tasty water from that oasis, sir. That was Ralph Rangnick showing us what 30 minutes.
Pilsner, baby.
Yeah, that German Pilsner out in the desert.
I love that Pilsner.
But essentially, it's like that taste of that first 30 minutes where the players were brave, going forward, putting in tackles, creating these chances. So let's get into this game. We're talking Manchester United 1, Crystal Palace 0. Couldn't come up with a better start. Let's get into that 11. The starting 11 didn't change much, didn't change a thing. Dave Saves World number one in net. We had Telles left back, Maguire, Lindelof center back, pairing Dalot on the right. McTominay kind of in that holding role with the Fred Bruno sort of midfield too. You can slice and dice that midfield a few different ways. Rashford on the left, Ronaldo at 9, and Sancho on the right. The man comes in. Probably the bigger change is Alanga on the bench. Doesn't change the starting 11. What'd you make of it?
You know, sir, when I saw this, something brilliant about it. Like, you know, I think Rangnick knew that Carrick knows something or other, pick a pretty good team based on what's available. I also think he wanted to just, like, take the same exact 11 that played a couple days ago and let's just change our approach, right, based on, like, some things that I'm sure he told them going out into the game. They played a little bit differently today, of course, than we did on Thursday. And what kind of impact that could have alone. So I kind of loved the idea of keeping with the same 11. Probably part of it was based on options, right? He's like missing a bunch of players, but there was something brilliant about it. Same 11. What do you think of it, sir?
Less is more,
right?
And I think at the end of the day, he only had one day. These players, like you said, the pre-match interview, they played well against Arsenal, obviously at times a little disjointed. And I think you just try to get these players who are the starters right now to play a little better via some recommendations from the Rangnick system, like the higher line. And look, these are professional footballers. I mean, like Dalot plays great at AC Milan, can't get a start at Manchester United. Tell us, you know, we brought him in for a reason. He can't play. Like you can go on and on and on, and including the subs, like these play, like there's a lot of depth to this team. And I think if you have a solid system that if Rangnick can establish that, switching players out, we've seen it at different teams. Switching players out in a good system is much easier than when you're playing Hero Ball FC. Let's get into the first half. United come out in control. Oh, my God, I'm saying it on the podcast. Can't believe it, sir. Like, you know, pinch me. I'm dreaming. Fourth minute, great pressing leads to a number of early turnovers. Ronaldo and Telles with early chances. I mean, this was like we were just creating opportunities. Also, great challenge for McTominay early, setting the tone. I think the number one thing United did today, they set the tone. Hey, this is our house. We're coming to win. We're coming to score. Wave after wave, Crystal Palace, they felt the pressure, sir. That is what you should be doing at Old Trafford. Crowd behind you, setting the tone.
And that's right. Spot on, because we have lost the reputation as Old Trafford as a fortress, right? Like people coming in thinking it's going to take a lot to get a result there. We've lost that over the last 8 years. That needs to change. Today we came out, we were putting tackles in. Everybody was putting challenges in. Back line, like Lindelof and Maguire were like beating people up in the air. McTominay, Fred, everybody was playing football today. And that was great to see. And that was just, like you said, same 11. I'll tell them something differently. And whatever he told them, it was working.
Well, the whole thing was a space in between the McFred with cheese and the center backs. And what happens when you close that and the center backs push up, there's not the space to play out. There's not the space to be able to get in behind. So it actually makes it easier for Lindelof and Maguire to keep everything in front.
Totally.
That was the biggest thing, a small change. And when you see a manager like Rangnick to be able to come in and make the exact change that needed and does work is incredible. 22nd minute, United are in control, playing some decent football. Rashford cut back to Ronaldo. Great chance. 26, Ronaldo, another close header. Bruno put a good effort on goal. I mean, there's just wave after wave. And then sort of kind of relented in the 28. There was a back post curler from Bruno. But then here's when we kind of started, that intensity started catching up with us a little bit.
Got a little tired.
It's not like we really let Crystal Palace into the game. I think they only had 14 touches in our third at the end of the day. So, I mean, excellent first half from Manchester United. But just couldn't get that breakthrough going at half. But encouraging from United.
Encouraging from United, like we said, the first 30 minutes, that's where a lot of the chances were created. Last 15, not so much, but we were in control. Like De Gea was just watching. It was back to like De Gea being a spectator in the game, and it hasn't been like that for a long time. So it was like, it's one thing to get a clean sheet where De Gea, 4, 5, 6, 7 saves, but like today, he was just chilling.
No, and if you looked at the pass map from the first half, the one thing that stood out to me, it was so balanced. We're like back in the, obviously with Shaw and Wan-Bissaka, you see so much heavier on the left with Shaw and Rashford, and on the right, Wan-Bissaka and, say, Sancho couldn't get started. Those two don't necessarily have the chemistry, but it was so balanced from United. Dalot being able to push up. It was like the balance from the pass map showed you everything, where the attack was coming from, all sides, and that is what you should be having as Manchester United in 2021, sir. You shouldn't be favoring one or the other, because then people can overload that side. It's too predictable, and I think United have been too predictable, but the big change, and you credit Michael Carrick, maybe credit the injuries, tell us Dalot, getting forward,
look great.
Bombing forward, looking great, getting involved in the attack. I mean, it's almost like, why didn't we see this earlier?
I don't know. I mean, that's going to be some of these questions that you're going to have to ask, unfortunately, when changes are made that are like pretty reasonable changes, some of which is going to be, he's going to use a lot more of this squad than Ole did. You just have to. Any manager that came in most likely would. That's a great example. And hey, Carrick deserves credit. Some of it was injuries, but Telles and Dalot, we've got great backups and options at fullback. We've got other great options in this team.
And the thing is, they get forward. So when you're trying to play this type of style, they're able to make a challenge going back. They got the recovery pace.
Put
it might not
in.
Be like, I mean, I'm not saying Dalot can defend like Aaron Wan-Bissaka at the end of the day, but if he can get forward and he can recover, he did a great job. Both of those players changed the game for United. Second half, we come out with a little bit less energy in the tank. I think this is where you could see between like the 55 and 65, we're begging for a sub just because you could see we're back to old ways. That's what happens. You get tired. You come out with this high energy and you're going to go back to your old ways. We saw a bit of the lazy turnovers, not able to kind of control. Like when Rangnick talks about control, I thought this period of play, probably, you know, 50th to 65th, we were that type of arsenal back and forth, sloppy turnovers. That was kind of coming back to basics here.
And I think a part of that is like, hey, man, they played 3 days ago and the same
team. Yeah, no,
like,
totally, yeah.
So a lot of things were really good, and you would imagine if they had 7 days in the tank in their legs, you would put out like 60 minutes of this kind of really good performance. You got 30 minutes of like unbelievable football that was so good that we haven't seen anything like it in years. And the rest was more in control. But like you said, it wasn't like wave after wave after wave.
Well, it's like we look at the stats. We were last in the league closing people down. And so if you come out and you try to be first in the league, you can probably handle that for 30, 40 minutes before you're like, all right, I need to go back to the other way. We're kind of walking around. Play bad, but it's like that's when you could see like a team like Crystal Palace, you let them into the game a little bit. 58th minute, Sancho feeds Rashford into the box. Shot is blocked. Thought Rashford just, you know, again, he's an all-star player, going to be a Manchester United great. Just not clicking for him at the moment. It happens. Change that pre-match routine. Rashford, maybe you need some Red Bull vodka the night before. I don't know. Jamie Vardy, worked for Jamie Vardy. Maybe you should try it. 62nd minute sub, Mason on for Sancho. Love Mason coming on. Sancho, ? Sir, you had a comment on that one.
I said Sancho specifically during the match.
You said that Rashford should have been Rashford here.
I would have thought it was Rashford. It looked like his legs were fading, but you made a good point in the moment. You said, I think he actually had more minutes, right? Because Rashford came off earlier in the game before, so maybe it was a bit of that.
Or saving him for, you know, young boys. Who knows? 68 minute, Telles hits the top of the bar from a free kick. Rashford did generate that free kick opportunity. Sure. So credit to him. Even though he's not on his game, he's still
pretty good.
Tough to handle up front. 70th minute, Grayson Greenwood teed up for a shot by Bruno, scuffs his shot. That was kind of a lot of scuffs today from United. 74th minute, Palace almost go ahead. I mean, you see a team like Palace come into Old Trafford, they're going to get one opportunity. You know, and that's what you want to see.
And this one goes wide.
This is a great opportunity, sir. Yeah. Maybe the best opportunity of the game for either team. Slopshop.com. You know, hey, David didn't have to do anything. Misses. I had a heart attack. Either way, a team's always going to get a chance. So it wasn't necessarily a giant defensive error that led to this. So it was actually good to see. It was just more of a, sir, get that set piece, coach, under control.
It's Palace. You know, Palace is going to be good at set pieces. That's like how they're going to stay up. So they're going to get a chance. It was one of those, like, you know, flick off someone's head and then kind of fell to him back post. We have been vulnerable to the back post and set pieces. So that's probably something for Ralph to take a look at. But like you said, they're going to get one good chance in the game. This was the best one.
You want to talk about footballing IQ, 76 minutes sub Elanga for Rashford. If you didn't love Rangnick already, you love him now.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know Elanga's ready. We've seen him play lights out, and it's like, get this kid in the game. And that's the one thing about Rangnick, why you talk about youth for Manchester United. Look, Ole did a good job with it. Rangnick's all about it. He saw Elanga in training. There are rumors that he was just like, oh my God, this player is amazing. Comes right in. That's the best thing about a manager. Someone plays well in training, you earn your spot. Elanga gets minutes. Unbelievable. He came on, looked hungry for it. But it all led to this moment, sir. It almost was destined to happen, mainly because we played so well. We deserve it. It is on your side already. Let's go. 76 minutes.
Greenwood, el servicio. Cuidado aquí, Greenwood, en el área de las ilusiones. Le pega. Freddy, golazo.
What a call from Telemundo. Let's go.
The call matches
Brasiliano,
the goal.
Let's go, Fred. I mean, the scoop shot, the finesse, Mason with the pass, and just, you know, we earned it. Sometimes you earn it, and we earned these 3 points. Fred earned that goal. I can't say a bad thing about Fred today. And look, you want to say, hey, Fred, he hasn't worked under Mourinho, hasn't worked under Ole. Maybe Rangnick can get something out of him. We paid a lot of money for him, but him scoring, getting forward, looks pretty sharp. And that's the one thing. You see him play for Brazil, looks at a different player. Can Rangnick get the Brazilian Fred at Manchester United? Let's hope so.
Well, I mean, let's hope so. But today, he's already been on the up. I mean, he was showing it under Carrick. He put in some really good performances today. He was class all day, all over the pitch. Not the usual mistakes you just see from him, right? Not the giveaways, Great goal. Great feed for Mason Greenwood, right? He looked good as soon as he came on. I love the subs from Ralph. I thought those were fantastic. All of them.
Give him the last pick.
Donnie came on, 85th minute for Bruno. That was also a nice little move. Maybe could have come a little earlier, but Fred with a great goal and a great performance. And he might be the guy to unlock him, sir. Like, all of a sudden, Fred might be Fernandinho.
Everyone's
finally
saying that, though. Everyone's buying Fred stock right now. I'm going to hold.
I'm holding. You're a long time Fred skeptic.
I'm holding because, well, the reason why I think Rangnick can get the best out of Fred is, like, with a player like him, it seems like when he's asked to do too much, he kind of questions it in his head, and that's kind of when he's prone to these errors. Or, like, you talk about the gaps between the defense and the bad positions he's put in, and then the bad decisions he makes kind of can make things worse. So if you keep it simple for him, and maybe you keep him on the front foot and just say, hey, man, just run ragged, run riot. We're going to put a CDM behind you to clog things up, which is kind of what we have always thought a little bit. You could get the best out of him. You know, in sort of a shade to the attacking side versus telling him to be the sole CDM or the main defensive midfielder. And it's just finding out what works for Fred at the end of the day. If Rangnick can do that, then great. But, you know, we have the number one thing I'd say is consistency is key to that position. And, you know, we've seen him up and down all around, but we've seen him play lights out. So he can do it. He just needs to be more consistent. And we have seen consistency.
I mean, hey, I'll tell you why he's consistent in one thing. He's always fit. He's an absolute beast of a player. Like, we've been critical of him, rightly so, because he's had some really tough patches at this club. But he is, like, probably one of the toughest little guys on the squad.
Yeah, but it's almost like
he never gets injured. He, like, rolled his ankle the other game against Arsenal and just, like, hop back up, dude. That would put a lot of players out for a couple weeks.
But it's almost like he's overthinking it when he makes those mistakes, or, like, the instructions aren't clear, and maybe Reina can keep it simple. We saw Reina keep it simple today, and we saw a new Manchester United. Lots of good things to say. But number one, the stat sheet.
Look at that.
Sir, possession 62-38, passes 527-331. In the final 30s, even more. Shots on target 3-2, 16-8 on regular shots, sir.
Fouls. That's what I love to see. Look at those fouls. Yeah. 16, baby.
But here's the thing. When we were fouling them in their half, right? I thought we did a good job, but, like, almost the tactical fouling, which you got to be doing in this day and age. Match reaction. Ralf Rangnick is the first of the six Germans to manage in the Premier League to win his first game in the competition after Felix Magath, Jurgen Klopp, John Stewart, Daniel Farke, and Thomas Tuchel all previously failed to do so before him. And Fred has scored twice in 12 Premier League matches this season, as many as he scored in 76 appearances in his first three seasons in the competition with Manchester United. Look, Fred is not paid to score goals. Fred is paid to track people down, run all around the pitch. Looking at the table, sir, we have to be looking at it right now because we have a new manager and we are in meltdown mode. We have 24 points with 15 played, right behind Tottenham Hotspur. Lads, it's Tottenham, 14 games played with 25 points. And then West Ham pip Chelsea. Big game for them. They've played 15 with 27. Chelsea on 33. Scouse Bastards 34. And Shitty with 35. So, sir.
Tight at the top.
Tight. Here's the one thing I will say is that at the end of the day, you're not supposed to, and on this podcast, we broke the golden rule. You don't unwrap the table until after Christmas. The problem is when you fire a manager, you kind of have to take an assessment of where you're at, because you're almost like starting a new season with an existing table. It's kind of almost how you have to consider it. So, like, where we are and where can we go? So we actually have to be looking at it right now, breaking our golden rule. But for fans of Shitty, the Scouse Bastard, and Chelsky, they shouldn't be thinking that we're winning the league or this is locked up at all, because what you're starting to see, Chelsea fading, Liverpool probably should have drawn. Shitty's on the surge. Shitty has been not playing that well. So at the end of the day, it's like, not till after this, like, 8-game December calendar are you going to know what teams are made of. Chelsea could be way behind it by the end of December. We could be back in it by the end of December. You never know how this thing's going to go. And it's almost like the reason why December is the great equalizer for all teams, matches come thick and fast. And you got injuries. You have fitness fatigue, forced rotation. Anything can happen. COVID. That's why it's the hardest thing.
You have COVID, right? You can lose players to that just as easily, right? That, like, doubles your propensity to injuries. The games, we have the ability to pick up a lot of points if we can cobble together some results, get a run going.
We need a run, sir. We need an old school, proper Manchester United run, and we need to start it right now.
Like win 8 of 9.
Yeah, like Norwich, Newcastle, Brighton, just like, you know, one after another, sir. 3 points, 3 points, 3 points. Rotate the squad quite a bit. Figure out who's legit. Get some of these players back, right? Varane, Cavani. Those two players are Ralph Rangnick players all day long. Pogba ain't worried about, sir. I want it, and I can already see, like, he ain't playing Lingard. Hopefully he's going to play more youth academy, the kind of players that are going to be around for a while. Don't play these players that are leaving.
I know.
As early as they can. They want to leave in January. It's like, you shouldn't be playing those players.
But look, it's a good, I mean, like, the table, big 6 points. The last two games, you can't understate how huge those would be. I mean, without those games, we would be, sir, we would be
below 10th.
Below 10th without those two wins. And so these two wins come at a crucial time on a nice run of fixtures for Manchester United. Oh, by the way, sir, you know, we're going to have a rest midweek because we don't even have to worry. But before we get into that next match, let's hear what the maestro had to say, Ralph Rangnick.
Congratulations. 3 points and a victory, the perfect way to start your Manchester United career. What did you make of the performance of the team today?
I mean, after only one training session, and if I'm very honest, it was not really a full training session. We had 45 minutes on the pitch. It was not only raining, it was pouring, it was windy, it was...
Welcome to Manchester.
Normally, yeah, but I mean, my assistant coaches told me that even for Manchester, that was extreme. Yes, but anyway, with one training session and quite a few conversations with team, with players, with a group of players, what they did today defensively, we had full control of the game. Maybe one or two situations where it was a little bit dangerous, but apart from that, we had full control on the game. The first 30 minutes, I was really impressed. High speed, high intensity, high tempo. The only thing that was missing in that part of the game was the 1 or 2 nil. But we kept patient. We kept patience. And in the second half, we deserved. In the end, we deserved to win. Brilliant goal by Fred with his strong right foot. I'm very happy with the first competitive game we had.
You've mentioned the word control a lot. What did you ask the players to do specifically today to try and gain more control in the game?
I mean, it's all about proactively playing and defending. And we were always proactive today, even after the 1-0. Maybe the last 3 minutes, okay, they had two or three corner kicks and free kicks. But apart from that, we were always on the counter-attack. We were always proactive, trying to put them under pressure. And this is what I wanted to see from them today.
How difficult has it been for you, the lack of time, but also the lack of time on the training ground you will now get for the next few weeks because of, you know, how intensive the matches are?
Yes, but we have to do it in a different way. As I said, step by step, talking to the players, showing them video footage, explaining to them what they should, how they would benefit from this kind of football. And I think they realized, they felt it themselves on the pitch that we had control today compared to quite a few other games in the past.
And what have your early impressions, not only of the players been, but also of the club and Old Trafford, your first?
Fantastic. The way they received me, everybody in the club, I'm so happy. It feels as if I'm here for now for 3 or 4 weeks, but I can only say thank you to everybody.
Just finally from me, it's been a few years since you were in the technical area directing a team. What was that like for you today?
Well, that was not that, that much of a difference. I've been working in that job for, in total, 25, 30 years. And even in that time when I was a sporting director only, I was very close to the team, also in the locker room. So yeah, that was not that much of a change for me.
Thank you, Ralph.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I mean, the new manager, he knows how to do a press. He's just,
this guy's captivated. I've never seen John be like, he's got the president going. You're like, I can listen to Ralph all day.
Well, it's I know. Look, only Mr. Nice Guy, we praise him for it, sir. But we got a new girlfriend now, you know,
a German
She's
girlfriend.
Got a German accent and likes Pilsner. But just like, he's honest. He's just like,
likes to be in control.
We controlled the game. First 30 minutes were great. Just like, he's just the honest assessment. You're not going to get. And that's the one thing about him, too. When he even talked about the City game, how the City could have scored more. He talked about Chelsea, how we conceded 24 opportunities. He's not papering over the cracks.
No.
He's going to shoot you cold-blooded. This is the deal. Like, hey, man, you're out of position. You cost us a goal. The players are going to hear it. It's like, hey, I know you have feelings, but this is Manchester United. You know, everything's not all sunshine every day. It's like, we're going to have tough times. He's going to call balls and strikes. That's why I like him. He'll literally say, hey, we had a bad second half. didn't go great. I think you're going to get a real honest assessment from him. And he seems like, sorry, has a laugh. Nice guy. I'd like to have a Pilsner with Rangnick.
I'd love to have a couple of Pilsners with Rangnick. Speaking of which, sir, makes the same sound. I assume you can get a Pilsner in a can somewhere. What he talked about, the element of the players buying in because they failed to control during the game, sir, that is exactly going to add to the credibility that he has with the players in the organization and to an extent the fans, right? The fans are already bought in. He talked about that. Feels like I've been here for weeks. These fans, come on, man. You know, we're going to welcome them with open arms because we always do. But the players, I think the players that buy in are going to be like Ralph's men within like weeks. Like the ones that buy in are going to be, because I think they've been looking for someone like this that's like a proper football philosopher, you know, has a very, very set point of view. And that's what we need right now because this team is brimming with talent. Organizationally, we got some things right, some things wrong. But right now, like you said, we need someone who's just going to be honest and straight and like straight with the players, straight with the staff, and hopefully straight with the people up top. Hopefully they can take that.
Like, well, he's just been through the ringer so many times. He doesn't have time. Like at the end of the day, like you see like pressers from, and it's like, you can analyze pressers all day. You want to talk going full Muppet here. But you see like Jurgen Klopp in pressers, he gets fired up. He kind of says like they played well when they didn't. He's trying to like massage everything a certain way. And like Rangnick just seems like, hey man, I've been around the block. This is the way it is. Like he probably tells the players the same exact thing. Like if you play this way, it will go much better for you. And like you will learn that by doing it and seeing the result. I'm not going to like force you to do it when you don't believe in it, right? Like the whole thing is, it seems like a meritocracy. Is like, this is how you should play on the high line. Manchester United play like, oh my god, this is so much easier than just like run around conceding in the first 5 minutes. It's like it's just eye opening stuff from Rangnick. Keep it simple, sir. But we got a next match, Champions League nights, Old Trafford. Let's go. Give me that sweet music. Qualified for the knockout stages, but we got a freebie against Young Boys coming to Old Trafford December 8th, noon Pacific. The final game week in the group stage. Some people are playing for their lives. We are chilling. Ralph Rangnick going to get an easy one here at home. A lot of rotation I expect from Manchester United just to give the new manager kind of see what's out there. Go shopping a bit here.
Test it out, you know, like rent the runway with a squad. This is actually perfect. Perfect timing, right? We got so many games that he needs to know, like, where are my building blocks that I can build squads in going forward over the coming weeks and months? This is a great chance to literally flush the squad, play, like, almost a brand new starting 11, maybe fullbacks-wise because of injuries. He's not going to be able to pull out both Telus and Dalot, but that would be good if he could. But either way, like, Dine should get minutes, Alanga, Ahmad, Martial, he'll probably make his decision pretty quick that he's not a Ralph player. But
he rates him. He rates for Martial, I mean, in the pressers. But who knows? I think the results on the pitch will speak for everything. Let's check in with the group really quickly, sir. Manchester United top 10 points. We have qualified. Villarreal in second with 7. Atalanta with 6. And Young Boys with 4, sir. You know, it's just one of those things where it feels good. It just feels good.
Feels good.
Hold on, sir. We got to pause here.
can't believe it. Football, bloody hell.
Hey, you know that, what? You that, got you
that,
got to
that. I need that. I need Champions League over that Hans and Franz.
Sir, it's like just the relief behind playing that music and getting to the knockout stage is unbelievable. Winning the group with a couple different managers here. You know, you have three different managers get you the group, whatever it takes to go to Hans and Franz Cup. But we're through. And Villarreal, Atalanta playing for Europa League football. It's going to be really interesting, that fixture. I don't know who's home or away, but that will be fireworks happening. Those two teams, who will get in? I think it's going to be an exciting day. Obviously, midweek, Tuesday, Wednesday, see who gets in and who gets out. And then obviously the draw around the corner. But we're going to snooze through this one. I like to see a lot of rotation. Rangnick needs to get to know these players. So I think it's a perfect game midweek where you can do that, get some more training in. Lifetime versus Young Boys. We won two. We lost one. Oh, by the way, that one that we lost, it was this year on the turf, sir, in Switzerland. 2-1. Our Champions League campaign did not start well.
Did not bode well, but hey, here we are. We're definitely through. Let's win the group, right? And let's get a win tomorrow. And that's the best way to do it. Take it out of their hands at home. No turf. This game was kind of in the news because remember they're talking about maybe being a neutral venue.
Yeah. Yep.
Switzerland and new restrictions because of the new variants. So thankfully that's not the case. Business as usual. Big game under the lights. Can't wait. Football. Now I'm looking forward to football again, baby. Let's go.
Form coming in for Young Boys. They tied the Grasshoppers 1-1.
Which is amazing. That's a team.
You don't even know who they are. They don't even have the, logo. you know, they don't even have the logo on Google. They drew Atalanta. I believe that is what won the group for us. Zurich beat them 1-0. Young Boys beat Lugano 3-1. And then they lost to Servette. Again, a team with no logo. And then they play us. So, I mean, I'm not really worried about Young Boys. They were founded in 1898 as BSC Young Boys. Its name was intended to mimic that of Basel Club, the Old Boys. So you say, why is the team named Young Boys? It's interesting. Since 2005, Young Boys, they play their home matches at the new Wankdorf Stadium as opposed to the old Wankdorf Stadium. Seats around 31,000. They go with the turf, which is a crime against football, if you ask me. Obviously, I haven't tried to grow a pitch in the winter in Switzerland, so I'm not a groundskeeper, but I can imagine it's hard. The team's won 15 Swiss League championships and six Swiss Cups. They've been featuring in the Champions League. We did play them previously, and they're one of the most successful Swiss football clubs internationally, reaching the semifinals of the European Cup in 1958-59. They've been around the block, the yellow and black, the YB, sir. We know them. As far as who plays for them, there is Sibachu, is an American who actually features for them as a striker. Most recently, they played the 4-4-2. Sibachu featured. As far as anyone else who plays for them, who knows?
physioroom.com. Names, sir.
Shouldn't worry about it. We should be worried about ourselves again. Another fixture under a new manager. We should be worried about how we're playing, not about Young Boys. They're not that big of a team. Knockout stages, we'll get to worrying about the opposition. Injury list, it's growing. Varane, same thing. December 11th, maybe. Cavani, Shaw head injury. Martial, Lingard as well. He's eating some meat pies. Paul Pogba's hanging out. Paul Pogba's on social media in the desert. Looks like he's really enjoying his life. I think funny. He's going to pull the most Paul Pogba. The amount of times he's injured and just like in Miami playing basketball or doing something else. You know, look, I think it's best for both parties for Paul Pogba to move on. I rate him as a player. I like him on Manchester United. I'd like to see Rangnick try to get the best out of him. I think it'd be a good fit. But as far as what's going on with him and if he's ever going to come back, who knows, sir, at this point.
Yeah, and also I'm just good on the drama. Like, you know what? New beginnings. No bullshit here with Ralf Rangnick going forward. I just, the whole Paul Pogba show ain't worth it, bro.
Rangnick's not going to put his arm around it. Like, the thing about, and this is what sucks about Paul Pogba. It's like the curse of the Bambino. You know, if you talk about the Red Sox, Yankees, like the things that just happen. Sir Alex Ferguson got rid of him because he had a horrible agent that was like a cancer and he wanted to get paid all this money and he got rid of Paul Pogba. He goes to Juventus, kills it. Then we decided Ed Woodward and co. bring him back. And since then, arguably got Mourinho sacked. Then Ole comes in and he gives him way too much love and he takes advantage of it and, you know, sometimes plays well, other times doesn't. And it's just one of those things where it just never clicked for both parties. I'm not blaming Paul Pogba. I'm not blaming the managers. I just think that he hasn't felt in France, he feels comfortable. At United, he doesn't. And for a player, that's everything. There's a lot of intangibles that lead to that. You can't blame a single party, but I think it's probably time for us to go into the market, sign a nice young and up-and-coming midfielder. Sir, those are the injuries. Give me your lineup.
Sir, we're going to see some rotation. Let's talk about it. I'm doing Hendo and Net. Back four, AWB, by Maguire, Telus. I'm going to do Matic, Donny van de Beek, and Juan Mata. Remember him? I'm going to do Anthony Alonga, Tony Martial, came from France, English press that he had no chance. And last but not least, Amad Diallo. So who you got? Who you got?
Dave saves world number one in net. He's our Champions League keeper. Keepers don't run a lot, and he didn't have a lot to do today, so he should be good to go. Aaron Wan-Bissaka comes in after some questionable behavior off the pitch. Bye, I'm going to say Jones, Phil Jones, believe it or not. Telus, Donny van de Beek, Matic in the two. Then I'm going to do Jesse, Bruno, Martial, Sancho. So I'm going to do the 4-2-2-2. It's a punt. I don't think we're going to see that, but either way, I like Ahmad coming in. I would, and Alonga, obviously, that you called out there. I really would like to see Ahmad came in, score that amazing goal against AC Milan. Haven't seen him since. He's in training. He's got to be at least on the bench in a game like this. Got to get some minutes for sure. I think you're right. Ahmad's going to start, so I'm going to take the L there.
I think this is a great opportunity for him to get some minutes against a team that, like, right in his bandwagon to be able to beat up at home. No turf to worry about. And he played the high press at Atalanta, as you know, so I think he could be a Ralf Rangnick player. He might not be going on loan, depending on some of those players on the injury list, sir. I don't think they are Ralf players. We talked about this earlier. Like, in a year, this squad could look quite a bit different because there's probably going to be a lot of outgoings between January window, summer window. So, Ahmad, I think he's a player for him with the speed, the way he likes to play, direct. Let's go.
Well, he's young. He needs reps.
Yeah, totally.
He needs reps. And you can't be not giving young players reps. It's not like he has to play every game, but he's got to be playing and learning, right? That's the whole thing.
Totally.
Booking the bookies, United heavy favorites, -260 at home, +410 for the draw, +650. 6.5 times your monies if young boys, times your monies if young boys wins. Sir, given that, what is your score prediction?
Sir, United roll, baby. 2-0. Alonga and Ahmad, the kids score. What you got?
I'll say 3-1. Score 2. Loosen up. Conceded a goal. We got Philly Jones out there. Philly cheesesteak.
Philly cheesesteak Jones.
Philly cheesesteak Jones on my team, rolling around. Let's start rolling around the pitch. Let's get in some news. United in the news. Sir, first article. What a great article. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, new book. You know who loves reading Zlatan Ibrahimovic, his books?
I'm good. Not me.
Dude, Freddie, friend of the pod. Freddie.
Is he reading it?
Yeah. Our Danish friend loves Zlatan. Obviously comes from Sweden, not Denmark. But he reads all of his books just because they're a riot. His new book is just talks about Manchester United. And I love to hear these stories because it's just important that stories like these get out because it shows you what a numpty. I mean, we just absolutely punish this man on this podcast as he deserves. Ed Woodward, an absolute lunatic. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, the article from The Athletic talking about his book, says Manchester United have a small mentality. Like one night in the hotel before a game, he took a fruit juice out of the mini bar and then he had a charge of £1 for the fruit juice from his wages. Can you believe that? There's really something like this, and there's other things we can go through what he said, but something like this shows you what the priority is for the club. That it should be players first. These are elite athletes. Anything they want, anything they need, day before a game, it should all be provided by the club. It should be 5-star service. They shouldn't even have to go into a mini bar, bro. They should have trainers giving them exactly what they need, nutrition up and down, all around. There's no way that Manchester United should be charging players for something as petty as this. Now, you know how they do this is if the owners care, all they care about is money.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, they're going to nickel and dime the players, elite players. They're going to nickel and dime them. They're going to nickel and dime us, the fans, and they're going to let the stadium rot, not put a dollar in it. This tells you this is from top down. Ed Woodward and his numpties, he's an accountant, sir, has the accounting. and he's going to account for every single dollar,
I need every dollar
that Zlatan Ibrahimovic
for.
Takes out of the mini bar. It's a. This is just shows you. This is lifting the lid on Manchester United. It's culture. This is culture. The symbolism of this charge to a player's like Zlatan's wages tells you everything you need to know about this club and who is running it.
Oh, this is not Manchester United culture. This is Glazer culture.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
Instilled.
The organizational culture of the Glazers.
This is not the first we've heard of this, right? We heard about this from Zlatan. We heard about this from, I think it was either Rojo or Lindelof's like girlfriend wife that complained that like they basically bend your arm to buying like a corporate ticket package as well for the team's players and the players on the team, their families are kind of like goaded into like buying a full corporate package and like just paying the club money. So like this nickel and diming attitude runs deep. It's an Ed Woodward ism, sir, and it's not good.
It's not elite organization. Players first. It should be football
first.
It's a very bad look. And the follow-up to this was that when Zlatan signed, another thing, and that, like a few nuggets are coming out, when Zlatan signed, he announced it on his Instagram. And obviously the club, you know, they signed, obviously the deal is done and then the club wants to do all these promos for like 3 days and like it's hidden and then they announce on their big social and it goes crazy, right? And Zlatan said, you know what? I'm Zlatan. I'm just going to announce it on my Instagram. Now, obviously, there was a blowback for that. Understandably, if like you're a $3 billion team, you're paying a lot of money for a player, and then he just says, screw it, announce it. But at the end of the day, if you know Zlatan Ibrahimovic,
yep,
and you know football, that's just like what Zlatan does. He takes out full-page ads, tells everybody, I'm here. He's just that big personality, always going to do things his way. Now, if you're signing Zlatan Ibrahimovic and he's doing that type of stuff, why would you hate on him for doing what he does at the end of the day? This is the type of player he is. He's not going to answer to anybody. He's going to do it the way he wants. And at the end of the day, there's not really that big of a deal if he announces on his Instagram and the club lose a little luster on theirs. Ed Woodward was so pissed off. He literally is texting Zlatan Ibrahimovic like angry text messages about how he cost the club millions of dollars for doing it. If you're the CEO of Manchester United, you should not be personally texting players who you just signed negative things to make them feel bad about social media clout. It makes no sense. It's like a teenage girl. It's like, first of all, if Zlatan does it, like, be pissed off, but talk to his agent. There's right. No reason you should be personally texting a player
text
like you have your thumb on Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He doesn't, first of all, he doesn't care what you think, Ed Woodward. It's just one of those things where it just shows the pettiness of Ed Woodward behind the scenes. You totally know he's that asshole boss that does everything in the Neil Ashton spin zone to make him look better. It's totally clear how it's so out of line from a CEO perspective to like personally text players after it happened. You can't like take it back. So what's the point of like texting Zlatan? Like, you want a sorry?
Sorry, he's like one of the worst chief executives in sport, like generally, like in the history of sport in the last 10 years, there are very few executives and a top football club that have run it as poorly. Like, you could say Barcelona, but they've had multiple executives that kind of are responsible for the train wreck that now is Barcelona Football Club. But we have only had one mastermind of said disaster, and that is Ed Woodward. His fingerprints. There's a fucking list, 100 line items long, sir. Like RVP, Patrice Evra, Vidic. There's so many stories of all the things Ed Woodward did to put a bad look on this club. Players, former players, pushed out a certain way, lied to, double T. It's just like he's a bad guy. He's always been a bad guy. Doesn't have any integrity. And this club has always been built on integrity. Doesn't have it, sir. Just another example of it. We've seen every couple of like 3-6 months, a new nugget gets thrown out into the ether about like why Woodward is such a bad chief executive. And this is just another one.
No, and the quote he says is that he went to the team manager and says, yeah, you got to pay for it. And he's like, I didn't go on holiday. I was there for work. Like, if I have to drink something, I'm thirsty. Like, I can't go onto the pitch dehydrated. Like, it's part of it is. It's business. He's staying at a hotel away from his house.
Of course, sir, I know.
Because he's going to the match. And then he said something like, he goes on to say something like that would never happen in Italy. These are the details that make a difference and earn the respect of the players. I agree. As an organization, you have to earn the respect of the players. You have to have them want to be playing for Manchester United. Another thing we haven't taken into account is stuff like this, how it might affect the players on the pitch at the end of the day. And also the last quote he says, the next bit nugget was basically he went to the training ground and every day he had to show papers to get in. Yeah, it's like, how about you know? How about you know their license plate number?
Their face,
and, like, and their face. Their face, like I would have never thought they would have to like keep showing ID. Like that seems, or maybe they could have like a D card that you can. Seems strange.
Maybe it's because they have like impersonators, so like they might have like fake Zlatans.
You can't steal have a fake Zlatan steal Zlatan's car. Like that's a stretch. I don't know, but
like a Zlatan and a Fiat.
Okay, next article here, sorry. This is a curveball you threw in here. Russian
wild card.
Russian media blast boss Ralf Rangnick as biggest fraud in country's football history.
I thought that was great. He left and they're just like calling, they just said he was a total fraud because everything that happened at his club in Russia, Lokomotiv Moscow, I think it was more of like a Lokomotiv Moscow issue than a Ralf Rangnick thing. But they at least have sour grapes, sir.
Sir, the great Lokomotiv Moscow.
Top club
of all time. So let's get into fan questions here on Twitter from @JamalMota. Quote, sir, some extra sauce on our McFred with cheese today. What a start to Ralf pressing shape. A clean sheet and we move slowly back up the table. Can't wait to see what we look like in a few months. Hashtag Glazers out. Totally agree, Jamal. I think that's the thing. The players are going to get fit over time. But Ralf is pretty pragmatic. He says, look, it's going to take time to make these changes over time. We have to convince. Also, something he says, we need control games and we need to convince players why we should play this way. Not tell them to play this way. We need to convince them to play this way. I like the way he's talking.
He's such a logical thinker. Like what he said even after the game, right, about the buy-in will come when the players realize that by playing that way, they're getting more control of the game in the game. And that will get them to buy into it more and more. Sir, and I love that he's talked about this in his first presser, right? His 30-minute one. He's like, I can't do everything today. And these players are not capable of doing everything I want to do today. But I can ask them to do certain things today. And then in a couple months, more things. It's like, that's how you do it. Crawl, walk, run. You can't do everything right away. So he gets that because he's done this shit before. He's experienced. And you realize that Rome isn't built in a day, and this is not going to be built in a day. So it's like incremental progress today was a great first start.
At Red Devil, what do you quote? Fantastic game. Hope they keep this intensity up. Fred was very good throughout. Ronaldo doesn't press. LOL. Palace didn't let us walk all over them either. 3 points, job done. That's a good point. This is a good Palace side.
It is.
And I thought they were shook in the first 30. Because if you've been watching Manchester United the last 2 months, like we have, you know that we're going to be like all over the place. You're going to get chances in the first 30. We came out a different side. I have no idea what Rangnick was able to do, but it was incredible. And Ronaldo, end of the game, the passion.
Still running.
Sorry, I love it. Like great performance from Manchester United. And at you, Boston, quote, good game today. Should have scored in the first half, though. Mason needs to play instead of Rashi. He's looking really out of form. Freebie midweek and then on to top four, Delo and Pastore, man of the match. I mean, El Pastore, man of the match, played amazing. Delo, tell us as well. What about Rashford? Do you think Mason Greenwood should be coming in for Rashford like for like?
I think that's a great call, right? Because that's what we always say. Who's up next? Greenwood's up next. He's had some great goals this season already. He's fit and firing, ready to go. Had COVID, right? I think that's like why we missed him for a couple of weeks. But he feels like a Ralf Rangnick player. Maybe the pressing isn't quite there yet, but I'm sure he could bring it out of him. Sir, I missed him in my starting 11, but he's a great pick for a starter against Young Boys on Wednesday.
At MJ Fitz, when will the fitness catch up with the style? Very good match, though. If we play a little cleaner and sustain it, can we compete for things, sir? That's a great question. You talk about Champions League coming back February. Can we get fit for, say, I'll run the Champions League. Can we get fit, say, for a run the FA Cup? Can we get fit, say, for a run at top four and beyond?
There's a chance anything can happen now. It's going to be about injuries. How do those line up? There's a certain just things out of your hand. So I hope between the amount of games we have to put together and just his ability to kind of leverage the big squad we have, that will be critical in getting the squad into a position where they can play the type of football he wants to play. So... So everything to play for. It's exciting season now again. It's like we got the players. We got the manager. Let's go. Now it's just about time and execution.
All right. From Instagram _Danny Brown_quote, good Ole McFred with cheese will absolutely continue under Rangnick. Delo and Telus are fantastic in the system as well. And K.J. Cooper, quote, how soon can we give Messi's Ballon d'Or to Fred?
Sir, you know what it is? Is like we had a McFred with cheese. And what were we missing? Salt. And I'll tell you what, Rangnick's got salt, bro. And that's why exactly. All of a sudden that McFermin cheese is like, oh, this tastes way better.
But the thing is the high line and those guys are going to work. They're not the best players to play there, but they're going to work.
Workers.
Exactly. Sir Tyler Adams, get them in. American, sir. USA Red Devils, ooh. Tyler Adams. Let's go. Look, thank you for everyone who got us this. Our fan questions on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We really appreciate you guys following us on all those platforms. Please interact, drop a like, helps the podcast. But sir, we have a quick PSA. We are the American Red Devils. We are for our fans, by fans. Support the podcast on Patreon, www.patreon.com/American Red Devils. Please sign up. You get a behind the scenes episode every single month. Also check out our online store. Great merchandise. Write a review on iTunes. You heard Alex. Let's get into our top downloads last 7 days.
Woo, here we go. Hold on 1 second. Number one, how you doing? Raufoss, Norway.
Let's go.
Number two, Clearwater, Florida. Los Angeles, California. Vancouver, Washington. Chicago, Illinois. Houston, Texas. Cartersville, Georgia. Columbus, Islington, UK, and last but not least, Telford, United Kingdom. Appreciate all the downloads, all the American Red Devils listening week in, week out. We couldn't do it without you. We have a big, big, big run of fixtures coming up in December. Like, it's relentless.
Pod and never sleeps,
Pod
sir.
Pod will be with you every step of the way.
Brighton, 4:30 a.m. That one killed me. So every month they announce the times of the games. This season, there's been more 4:30 a.m. games than any season. It's been one of the hardest seasons to watch, sir. But we will be there. Pod Never Sleeps, America Red Devil, sir. We got a great, sir, tell them about the song of the week.
Sir, we've seen it all. We've won the lot. Sir, they were singing it today, Old Trafford.
We're Man United, and we're never going to stop. Here we go. Everyone have a great week.